you can break up a man but not kill him. And so I went looking for him. And every time I went into one bar, he just left, went out the back way.
Sago, Skinagoga, welcome to the Storyteller. From the deserts of the Southwest to the frozen tundra of the North, and all across this great land there are stories, true stories of First Nations people whose lives have been changed forever, who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Join us now as we listen to The Storyteller.
Hello, I'm Jim Richteroff, originally from Lake Aleyamna. And I'm an Athabascan Indian. And I left Lake Aleyamna in 1948 and came to Anchorage. But before that, in the village was all we had. We never had any education or anything. But now I travel all over Alaska, and there's schools everywhere now. But in my time, they didn't have that. And so when we were living in this little village, it's not even on the map. But then, you see, even where we thought people didn't know anything about us, God knew where we were all the time. And so in the village there was all there was just drinking and things in the world, men that were married, going with other women, and men's wives. And I mean, this was what we lived in. I started to drink at the age of 8, but then all of the people in our village, they make what is called the homebrew, and they had one 50-gallon barrel over here, another one over there in the corner, and so we just grew up. Well, that's all we've seen was just drinking and drinking. So we thought that was the way we're supposed to do. So, and then I went to Bristol Bay, and when I was old enough to work, I got a job there working in the cannery. And then after season, just went from village to village because we had money to spend to buy liquor. And then in 1948, I came out here. But in our village was, the people were terrible. And this is my stepdad and my first cousins. Why they hated us, that I never did find out why. But my sister was raped at the age of 8, and my mom was married to my stepdad, and he was not a good dad at all. And so we just grew up with hatred. That's all we knew, was hatred. And so then, when my mom died, that was the only one that I ever loved. And even to this day, I think about her all the time and what she went through, of how my stepdad used to beat her and my sister. And after my mom died, then it was just my sister and I. And how they went through, like they treated us like we were dogs. And so I just grew up in hatred. And then this one time, not only one time, but my sister, they hung her. And as she was up there, I don't know if you ever run your hand through a rope real fast and it burns. Well, when the rope burnt and she came down, the rope marks was on her side there, and she just had that scar all the time until she passed away. And of course, me too, not so much what they did to me, but it's what they did to my mom and my sister that I wish I was a man and grew up now, because I wanted to get even with them. And so then I left Lake Aliamna in 1948 and came here to Anchorage. And, of course, I knew where all the bars were, and that's where you might say I lived, in the bars. And so this one guy that I've hated so much, his name is Buck Delcady, who's my first cousin, of how they used to tie me to the post. We had wooden houses, so we would tie me to the post and beat on me until I passed out. And I grew up that way with just hate. That's all we knew. And so then I went into, when I became an adult, and I went into judo, and I found out that there's 100 different chokes in judo alone. And after I graduated from that, then I found out karate was more effective. And so I went into that because I wanted to get these people. And then in 1972, after I finished karate, then I went looking for Buck, because he lives here in Anchorage. And you can break up a man, but not kill him. And so I went looking for him. And every time I went into one bar, he just left, went out the back way. And anyway, then in 1972, this preacher came into the bar where I was, and of course we were at the round table there, and here he come right toward me, and I thought the guy was an FBI or somebody dressed in suit and white shirt, and the first thing he said to me was, "God loves me." Well, the only one that I knew that really loved me was my mom. And but I didn't say anything to him. And so he invited me to church. And I said I would come. And I was not going, really. I just wanted to get rid of him. And so he left. Well, and next week here he comes again. And he said, "We miss you in church." And I said, "Oh, something else came up." It was all lies. All I knew was lie. I knew how to lie. And so I said, "Well, I'll come next week." And so he left. Well, I didn't go. And so I thank the Lord he didn't give up. Here he come back again the next week. And so I thought, well, this time I'll go just to get rid of him. Maybe he won't come and visit me anymore there in the bar. So I told him I will come. And so here comes Sunday evening. And so the guys I was drinking with, I told them, "I'm not feeling very good. That was a lie. I didn't want to tell them I'm going to church." And so I tried my best to clean up, you know, and then went to church. And And that little church on 4th Avenue is still there. Little log cabin church. And so this was in 1972 of November. And so when the guy started preaching, he was a native guy, and he was preaching on John 3:16, Galatians 2:20. Paul said in there, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And I like this part, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe in him." And, boy, I mean, it was just like I'd known that, but I know now it was the Holy Spirit that was witnessing to me. And so I sat way in the back, and every time he was pointing his hand like that to the people, I thought he was pointing it at me. So I would get behind someone so he wouldn't see me. But when the invitation was given, you know, a lot of us natives don't like to be looked at or anything like this. And so when the invitation was given, I did not care who was looking, and I was drunk when I went down, and I staggered down the aisle, and boy, I want to tell you, that was the most beautiful thing that I've ever experienced. When the guy was standing there, and he said, "What'd you come down here for?" And I said, "I want to give my heart to the Lord." And so we knelt down. And you know, everyone that's an alcoholic do not like to be in the state they are, but they can't help themselves. I was one of them. And so we knelt down, and he started to pray. And so I'm thinking, while he's praying, I'm looking at him. I was thinking, how can he know that I want to get rid of this alcohol? I want to get rid of the smoking. And I love the things in the world, which was women. And so I whispered a prayer. I said, "God, can you help me in this? Deliver me of the liquor, the smoking habit, and the things of the world." I said, "Can you take those all away?" And boy, when he got done praying, then he asked me to pray. Well, I'm thinking only way I could do is repeat what he said of giving my heart to the Lord. So I prayed that. You know, I got saved November 19th, 1972. When there's a beautiful thing like this of the Lord, that when he comes into your heart, even though I did not have any education then, of how you don't forget anything like this. Now, that was over 30-some years ago that I was saved, but never forgot of the love of God when he comes in their heart. It's something new that we don't understand, but he just gives it out over and over again. That a lot of times I couldn't hold the tears back, not because I'm feeling bad, but the love of God, how beautiful it is. John 3:16, "For God," the pastor said, "Say it this way, for God so loved Jim Rickdroff, if that Jim Rickdroff will believe in the name of the only begotten Son." Oh, I want to tell you, it is glorious just to know of what God has given each one of us. But getting back to the prayer, We all have to know this, that we are sinners before the Lord. We were born into this world sinners, and we need to accept Him as our personal Savior by asking Him to forgive us of all our sins. And when we stood up, you see, when you drink for 40 years, your whole body is just shaking like you don't have any bones or anything. And boy, when I stood up and were standing there, I was no longer shaking. And I'm looking at myself like this, both my shoulders, and I'm looking this way. I'm thinking, what's happening? I'm not shaking. And I know of this, that there's power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What power He has there when He went to the cross for you and for me. I learned all this while I'm standing there. And I'm looking at myself. I said, boy, I've never experienced anything like this. And when we got done praying, I mean, the love where I grew up with hatred in our village, that's all we knew was hate, hate, hate. And as I stood up, the love that flooded my soul right there at the altar, and I'm thinking, I gotta go and tell my people about how Jesus can forgive. And, of course, I went back to Pedro Bay and to tell the people that God loves them and I don't hate them. Oh, they said, you're just the same as the way you used to be. And I said, no, God has come into my heart and forgiven me of my sins. We have to all know that we are sinners. So, getting back to Buck, he got saved that same year, too. And so I had to go to him and tell him that I love him. But I did not know where he was. So we had what is called a Native New Life. We were having it at the school. And so I walked in there, and here I saw Buck with the people playing guitars, you know. And he said when he saw me, he knew that I was looking for him. And he said, oh, this is it. And I wanted to go down to where they were playing to tell him that I'm saved now. But I didn't want to disrupt the people. So I waited till the service was over. And I went right down to him. And I put my hand out and I said, I am saved. I'm a Christian. God has forgiven me of my sins. Did you know that when Jesus was on the cross and that thief that gave his heart to the Lord, how Jesus reaches out to each one of us? When Buck and I, our hands met together, I felt the precious nail-scarred hands of the Lord, and it was just like the service was starting all over again of the love that flooded our souls as we just hung on to one another there. What God of His love can do to people who hated one another. So beautiful that, I mean, it just like, it was yesterday that it had things happen like this of how God can bring us together. For those who are listening, if you want to give your heart to the Lord, let me tell you of this one thing, that if you are an alcoholic or living in the sin world, and you want to come to the Lord, and you might not know how to pray, remember this, just ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Let me tell you, He will forgive you of your sins, but we have to mean it in our hearts. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I want to tell you, he can touch your heart in a way that you might not understand it, but when you ask him, he will forgive you of your sins. Knowing that you are a sinner, come to him now. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, because the Bible says that he's coming back, and we need to be ready and have our sins forgiven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and he will forgive you of your sins, wherever you may be. I want to tell you, when the love of God comes into your heart, it is beautiful to know him.
Have you come to Jesus Christ? One day you will meet him, and he will either be your Savior or your judge. He's the Savior of all who call upon him by faith, and the judge of all who won't. Sadly, there are many who reject Jesus. It's hard to imagine. Who else do you know that would willingly lay down their life to pay for the sins of others? But that's what Jesus did at the cross. It was there that he paid the penalty we deserved. 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, because justice had been satisfied. Now, whoever will humble themselves and come to Jesus by faith is accepted by God. He tells us in the Bible in Romans 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Want to know more? Please visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. You can also find us on Facebook at Without Reservation. Want to take The Storyteller with you? Be sure to download our app. Thanks for listening, and remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.